At this time, we enter into our talk section of the worship where we connect God's word to our lives. I have to say, as I reflected on this scripture and the temptation of Jesus, it seems to me that in many ways, Jesus actually had it rather easy, as temptation goes, because Jesus could see the devil standing right there in front of him. Now, it probably wasn't a guy that's red with, you know, the horns and a pitchfork, but, I mean, if Satan comes to you and has a conversation with you and tells you to do something, then how hard is it to say no? You know that it's the devil talking to you, so just say no to whatever the devil tells you to do. I mean, whatever the devil tells you to do is not a good idea. So just say no. Reminds me kind of Nancy Reagan's sort of anti-drug campaign back in the 80s. Just say no to drugs. It's what Jesus has to do. The devil's standing right there. All Jesus needs to do is just say no. So often when we think about temptation, this is often how we think about it. We think about it as if we're tempted to do something bad. We all know it's bad, and we all know we shouldn't do it, and you know you shouldn't do it, and so you just need to say no. Just follow the Ten Commandments. Do not kill, do not steal, do not commit adultery, do not tell lies, do not do bad things. Say no to doing bad things. And yet, when we look at the temptations that Jesus had, many of them actually aren't really bad things at all. And maybe resisting temptation isn't quite as easy as it would first appear. The devil says to Jesus, "Turn these stones to bread." What's so bad about that? I mean, if you're hungry, you need food to live, you'll die if you don't have it. And if you're Jesus and you have the power to make food for yourself, wouldn't hurt anybody else to do that. It might even be a good thing to help fill your belly, help you to get a clear head and a clear mind. Or the devil tells Jesus to jump off the top of the temple. Well, maybe that's not actually a good idea, because if you jump off the top of the temple, you'll probably get hurt. But no one else is going to get hurt if you jump off the top of the temple. The only person getting hurt in that scenario is you. But as we get deeper into this story, we start to see that temptation is many times a lot more than just avoiding doing bad stuff. Stuff that we already know is bad. If we look deeper at Jesus' temptations, we actually see that the core of the temptation is not so much about making sure you do the right thing and not doing the wrong thing, but instead, the temptations start out a bit differently. The devil comes to Jesus and says, "If you're the Son of God, then turn stones to bread. Jump off the pinnacle of the temple." Now, immediately before the story of Jesus' temptation was a story we heard last week, the story about Jesus' baptism, the story we have portrayed at the top of our picture over here. And at the end of this story, right at the end, as Jesus is baptized and coming up out of the waters of the River Jordan, we hear this. A voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." And then it moves immediately into Jesus was led into by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. There's not a chapter break, not a verse break, not a page turn, not a new story. These chapters and verses that we see in Scripture are things that we've added in like page numbers so that we can find the story better. But when this was first written, it was all one big story together, the story of Jesus. And so Jesus' baptism, "You are my Son, the Beloved," moves right into the words of temptation. If you really are the Son of God, suddenly the question becomes a question about who Jesus is. The temptation is a temptation to draw away from Jesus' identity and relationship. So often the temptations in our lives are much more than simply saying no to doing bad things that we already know are wrong, but instead the temptations that we oftentimes find in our lives are temptations to be other than who God has called us to be, other than who God has created us to be. Blaise Pascal in the 17th century, a French philosopher, writes about what he calls having a God-sized hole in our hearts. And what he meant by this is that we as humans have a space in our lives that can only be filled by God. And what we try and do, what we're tempted to do, what the real temptation is to try and fill that hole with all kinds of things other than God. We might look to other people to give us affirmation, to tell us that we're good enough, to tell us we're good people. Maybe we look to other people in our lives, other relationships, to complete us. Maybe family relationships or romantic partners. We might look to our job or our accomplishments or our success to tell us that we're good enough, to give us our identity. We may look to our things, what we have, to tell others who we are, to tell us that the hole is filled. Then you'll be satisfied if only you have. We might look to recreation or fun, all kinds of ways to fill the hole. And when we can't fill the hole, we may try and run away to fill the void with other things. Alcohol or drugs or sex or shopping or food. All kinds of ways we try and fill this hole in our lives. Different ways that we hear the world telling us, you can fill the hole. Completeness, wholeness, self-sufficiency, they are within your grasp. You can do it. You can fill the hole on your own. And yet, the hole's still there. Because the only thing that can fill God's size hole is God. Augustine, a 4th century African bishop, writes it this way in his Confessions. You have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. Only God can fill the hole that makes us whole. And at the heart of the temptation that the devil is giving to Jesus is truly this, a temptation of identity, a temptation if you are the Son of God. The devil is trying to tempt Jesus away from who Jesus truly is, tempt Jesus to be something other than God has called him to be. If you're the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. You can rely on yourself. You don't need God to provide for you. If you're the Son of God, jump off this temple. Angels will come and protect you. You can be in charge. You can make God do what you want God to do. The devil says, come and worship me and I will give you all the kingdoms of the world. I will give you everything you want. All success, all power to fill that hole instead of God. But Jesus holds true to his identity given to him in baptism. The identity that God gave to him, telling him, you are the Son of God. You are the beloved with whom I am well pleased. The hole is full. You do not have to go and fill it with anything else. Temptation is so much more about being tempted away from who God has created and called us to be. And oftentimes, this I think is truly how we do experience temptation or the aftermath of it, because oftentimes when we say or do or act in ways that we often later feel ashamed of, we may say, well, we didn't feel like that was us. We might say the devil made me do it, right? That's sort of the common way of saying it. But another way is to say, like, you know what? That's not who I want to be. That's not who I am. I'm not those things. We don't feel like ourselves. We don't want to be that way. This is the power of sin and temptation, that we can't stop ourselves from doing those things that we don't want to do. We can't just will ourselves out of it and sort of just say no and all will be well. It's not that easy. We try and we try, and sometimes we are able to, but sometimes we aren't. We're trying to rely upon ourselves to fill that hole again. All of those temptations coming to us. And we need someone or something to come from outside of us to save us, to fill that hole. And it comes to us. It comes to us. Forgiveness and grace and new life and freedom. It comes to us in God. It comes to us from God in Jesus. We find that in baptism, we're given a new identity. That God has come to fill the hole, and God comes from the outside and says, "You are my son. You are my daughter, the beloved, with whom I'm well pleased." This is our primary identity, first and foremost, a loved child of God. And this identity fills the God-sized hole like nothing else can. Jesus' baptism was immediately before his temptation. Jesus is given what he needs to be able to fill the hole. God's words ringing in his ears as he hears the temptation from Satan. "If you are the Son of God," and the voice of God saying, "You are the Son of God, the beloved, with whom I'm well pleased." When we rest in God and our identity in God, then the temptation is less so, because God has filled the hole. Now, this is a lifelong journey of continuing to fill the God-sized hole that God comes to us to fill. Throughout Jesus, his temptation didn't end 40 days and he was done, but throughout his life, there are continual challenges to Jesus' identity from the crowds and the Pharisees and the soldiers. But in the midst of this, Jesus is not tempted because Jesus understands who he is. After Jesus' temptation in the wilderness, he begins his ministry. And the first words that he says are, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near," saying, "Turn away from all those other ways that you seek to fill the hole. The kingdom of heaven has come near in me. Come, be filled." And we come here each week to hear these same words from God given to us, that you are a forgiven and a loved child of God. The hole is filled. And we come here to repent of all the ways that we have tried on our own to fill that hole. And so we come here again to hear who we are and whose we are. We cannot resist temptation on our own. We cannot just say no and it'll all be fine. But instead, we cling in the midst of temptation to that identity given to us, the promise that the hole is filled forever because we are a beloved child of God and we can rest in this identity. And so today, as we come here, we'll hear those words again. You might have found it a bit strange, maybe not. No confession and forgiveness at the beginning of the sermon. Instead, I invite you now to join together and stand as you are able as we together confess all of the ways that we have sought to fill the God-sized hole and to hear God's word, the deepest truth about who we are and whose we are, blessed and loved children of God. And so we come before God confessing. God, in whom alone we find rest. We confess that we often turn from the gifts of identity, purpose, and meaning that you would give us. Instead of serving others, we serve ourselves. Instead of being motivated by love, we are motivated by fear. Instead of seeking wisdom, we seek possessions. Instead of working for peace, We work for security. Instead of seeking our good in you, we look to so many other places, trading your abundant and enduring love for the shiny things of this world. Draw us back to you, O God, and remind us that all we have and need we find in relationship with you and with others. We pray in the name of Jesus, who came as one of us, tempted as we are, yet without forsaking trust in you. In the name of Jesus, who suffered temptation and prevailed, who was crucified on the cross and raised on the third day, hear these words. Words to you given from God, that you are a beloved child of God, forgiven, redeemed, renewed. The hole has been filled, and you are called now to live lives of wholeness and life. Thanks be to God. Amen.